It's going to be a bit different this evening, I think. We're going to go through Mark 15, but I've interspersed it with Isaiah 53. It all fits communion, of course. So I've not separated out a talk slot as such. So and hymns get slotted in here and there. So we'll see what happens. Well, let's turn to Mark 15, or you can just sit back and listen. I'm going to read through, as I say, I'm going to bring in verses from Isaiah 53 here and there. I may also have the odd word differently in Mark 15, because I downloaded it off Bible Gateway on the internet, and it's a slightly later version of the NIV. But we'll see how we go. I'm starting in Isaiah 53, just the first few verses. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. And then Mark 15. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Just one verse from Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Mark 15, verse 6. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. Now that word self-interest there can be translated envy. Was it, you know, the chief priests envied the position that Jesus had in the opinion of the crowds? Pilate obviously thought that the crowds would want the release of the one that they had just 4 days earlier hailed as their Messiah as he rode into Jerusalem. Verse 11, but the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Very briefly, Isaiah 53:8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? Mark 15:15. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Note that, wanting to satisfy the crowd. had the might of the Roman army there, so he kind of didn't need to satisfy the crowd, but it was an easy way to keep the peace. You know, often people choose the easy way rather than the right way. It wasn't just Pilate, was it? It goes on and on and on. People choosing the easy way, setting aside integrity. Verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they let him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. That's interesting, isn't it? It's such a small part, in a sense, that Simon plays in this, and yet we know the names of his sons. I wonder how. But Mark found that information. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it in, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charges against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Let him come down from the cross. It's quite easy to respond to taunts like that. He could have come down from that cross, couldn't he? And where would we be if he had? Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Isaiah 53:5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Let's continue from Mark 15, verse 33. "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" That was the weight of our sin upon Jesus on the cross. That sin that meant God the Father had to turn his back on his Son. My God, why have you forsaken me?" It wasn't the nails, the beatings, the whippings that most hurt. Though hurt most sorely, they certainly did. But it was carrying the sin, the whole sin of all creation, from creation until the last judgment. That sacrifice sufficient to deal with all that sin. If only each sinner would come and fall on their knees at that cross and receive forgiveness for that sin through repentance. When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Mark doesn't tell us, but of course we know from the other gospel writers that loud cry was, "It is finished. It is finished." He had done that work for which he had been born. Second half of verse 8 of Isaiah 53. "For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished." Mark 15:38. "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" He was only slightly wrong. "Surely this man is the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Isaiah 53, verse 9. "He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." And in the tomb is where most people leave him. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. Isaiah 53:6. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. The last few verses of Isaiah 53. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And I think I want to just read those three verses from Isaiah 61 that Graham was sharing with us this morning. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. We could read, we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. God wants his glory to be seen in us, and his glory is the life of Jesus in us. Lord, what privileged people we are. Lord, teach us to love you more deeply, to serve you more completely, to trust you more wholly, to love you more deeply, that we might be like Jesus, for his glory. Amen.